Forgiveness was a Bible truth that God used to get to my heart in terms of receiving and following Him, and still a pretty big deal, I would say, it's an underestimated statement, on a daily basis in terms of God's relationship with people and in myself in particular. But God's Word says here in Psalm 32, "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom," and Paul puts it this way, "against whom the Lord will never count sin." Paul quotes this in Romans 4 a little strongly than David writes it in Psalm 32. So this is you and me, blessed by God, sin covered, transgressions forgiven, on the front end of our relationship with God that He would offer to us. This is how we get started. As Jesus would pray on the cross for those who were killing Him, for people in the future, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." So this brings a lot of actions of joy, peace, love that God would bring from a reconciliation between God and ourselves. And if you've ever had a reconciliation with somebody who you were at odds with, probably happened last week in some manner, you felt pretty at peace and strong in your soul. And so David and every Christian who ever met the Lord goes from guilt to gratitude and goes from being forgiven to being able to forgive. And it's not an easy road. A story out of one of Chuck Colson's books on how difficult forgiveness can be. Mr. Coors, who was the owner of Coors Brewing Company back in the 60s, was kidnapped and taken for ransom by his kidnappers. And they threatened to murder him if the money was not paid, a lot of money they wanted. And so his family got together and authorities and said, "Okay, we'll get the money. We'll put it here and we'll get the man back," and so forth. Well, something went wrong and the money was not given, and Mr. Coors was murdered. He had a 15-year-old son who was very close to his dad and a really wonderful relationship. And of course, he was devastated about what had happened. And his heart really became very angry, full of hatred and revenge and bitterness, and life just looked really bad. So he didn't know what to do with himself. Age 15, a couple years later, he says, "I'm going to the military. I'll be a Marine, serve in Vietnam, maybe find some channel for all this, you know, fierce anger and energy that I have." Served was not a cure for him, but came back to civilian life and just wasn't able to relate in any kind of open-hearted way to people around him. Had three marriages end and became addicted to drugs and alcohol. So a terrible life from a terrible incident. Forgiveness, would it help this man? He heard from other Christians that God would bring forgiveness to his own soul. And so that caught his attention. And he did pray to receive Christ, began to follow Jesus the best he knew how in Bible studies, devotions, church, and those kind of things. And having to be going to a Bible study with a man who was involved in prison fellowship. And the man was glad to meet the young Mr. Coors and said, "Boy, I'm sure it's a terrible thing. Have you ever found it in yourself because of God to forgive the people who killed your dad?" And you know, he thought for just a short time and says, "Well, yes, I have. I've forgiven them." And the man from prison fellowship said, well, that's something. "Well, wouldn't you know it? In my work in prisons, I've met the person who one of the people who killed your dad, and he's there. You know, he's trying to find his way to trust God. Would you be willing to go and talk to him and tell him that you forgive him?" And the young Mr. Coors said, "Oh, no, I simply couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. It'd be too hard, you know." And the Christian said, "Well, you just pray about that. You know, I realize how hard that would be. And certainly you could forgive without necessarily talking to the guy. But maybe this is a way to express what Jesus means to you." Mr. Coors said, "Forget it. Not going to do it." Went on his way, continued to walk with Christ. But it seemed like the only thing he could think about was forgiving this guy and whether he was going to express that forgiveness or not. Couldn't get it off his mind. So finally he tells the man from prison fellowship in the Bible study, yes, I'm willing to go. And say to the man, by God, with God's help, I forgive you. So they went. Turns out the murderer that particular day said, no, I can't see him. I don't want to see him. So the door was closed in terms of passing on some forgiveness. And the young Mr. Kaur said, I knew then that God was really working in my life because I was truly disappointed that I could not go and talk to the man. And if I wouldn't have, if I didn't have forgiveness in my heart, I'd have been relieved to say, if I could, I don't want to go talk to him after all. And in fact, I hope he, dies a miserable death in prison. But his heart was changed by God alone. And the forgiveness that he received, he was able to attempt to pass it on to others. But it was a long, difficult, not easy process. He had this new gift from God called forgiveness. And it was going to take a while for him to be able to put it into practice, without a lot of, oh my, a lot of prayer and help needed from the Lord. And so receiving forgiveness changes our lives, gives us a chance to change somebody else's life. And David struggled with his own sin. He uses three different terms for sin here in Psalm 32. Transgression, that's to go away from God and be rebellious of Him. You know, we should never take sin lightly because God doesn't. And if we take sin lightly, then we'll take forgiveness lightly. If you think forgiveness is like one of those, that's an elementary doctrine, which is a piece of cake. You do that when your first week of being a Christian and off you go. I mean, not the case. Okay, it's a precious gift of God. He wanted the cross. He offers it. That heart of God to us there, and we learn of that and learn how to walk with Him. But transgression, big problem, our sin. Falling short, missing the mark is another phrase used in Psalm 32. David said, my sins need forgiven. And later he uses the word iniquities. When he didn't confess his iniquity, he was miserable. Part of Psalm 32 is when forgiveness is not received or passed on. In this case, David couldn't pass it on to his own soul. He felt terrible. It's like a flu in your soul. Strength sapped. No joy. Run down. Unforgiveness tasted. Iniquity needed to be dealt with. Iniquity that we have is being corrupt, crooked, and our soul turns against God and against others. So it's easy to have happen for a human being, but God's forgiveness comes as the gift, the remedy. God's forgiveness means to set free, to be covered and atoned for the difficulty we have done, that God's justice against sin is fully satisfied. God's forgiveness is not just, He's so easygoing that He just says, hey, don't worry about it, I'm hardly offended by anything, you just go about your merry way. I mean, he is a righteous God, and sin, he knows it'll kill us, it'll kill everybody else, and it causes him great grief. And so his Son took the penalty of sin on himself. The Lord laid on the Messiah the sin of us all. So God's wrath was satisfied. The weight of sin is lifted off our soul. We're made clean. Sin is deleted from our account. That's for all. If you have a computer, with that, it's gone. And it's possible to be retrieved. God says he has taken care of it through his Son. Great song, it is well with my soul. Sometimes if you want to have Bible truth expressed well, look in the hymn book. Ask the choir to sing a song about it. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So what David felt at the end of this psalm, he said he rejoiced, he was glad, because he talked to God about his problem, his sin. And it's a blessing about God's forgiveness, and really we should see it as an upfront gift. While we were still sinners, Before we asked for forgiveness, God said, I'm ready. My son has paid for this. God's forgiveness is offered at the front end of our sin. And our faith and repentance are our response to the forgiveness offered. God says, I'll forgive you. And we say, I trust you. And I turn to you. So God always goes first. And it helps us. Because otherwise we'll get in the trap of trying to earn forgiveness by faith and repentance. By saying, God, I think I trust you enough, and I'm going to do these 10 good things from the sin I did, and then we'll be even, okay? Everything will be fine. This would be trying to work your way to forgiveness, which we cannot do. Forgiveness has to be a gift given by God, or it's really not mercy. We're looking for something we think we deserve at that point. Mine's a story which I may share in another context of brother and sister Sally and Joe going to see their grandparents, and grandparents have a pond and a duck in the pond, and Joe's really excited. You know, he's 8 years old. He wants to practice his BB gun in the pond where the duck is. Splash the duck with the BB hitting the water. Misses the water, hits the duck, and the duck dies. So he feels terrible. He tries to cover up his sin, okay, careless sin. And Sally sees this. She's, oh, okay. And so the grandparents, they begin to ask the children for help. Sally, we need help doing the dishes. Can you come and help? Sally says, Joe said he'd help. And she says to Joe, remember the duck. Okay. So Joe, okay, yeah, I'll do it, definitely. Keep that, you know, I don't want to deal with that. Time to clean the house. Sally, come help us clean the house. Joe said he'd do it all. Remember the duck, Joe. Remember the duck. Okay, I'll do it. Sally's pulling this out all the time, you know. Remember the duck. Remember the duck. Joe, he says, I can't stand this anymore. I'd rather go and face my grandparents than have this accusation over here from my sister, remember the duck. And he goes to the grandparents. I killed the duck. I am so sorry. And the grandfather said, I saw you kill that duck, and I forgave you, you know. And I was waiting for you to come and say you needed that forgiveness and you wanted to be clean and right with me. And this is what the Lord does. He gives us that forgiveness on the front end of our problems so we can approach him and not have to twist his arm. And when we approach God, he doesn't stand there and say, remember the duck, you know. And he says, let me take this to the cross, and it has been. So the gift of forgiveness, which we are to attempt to pass on to others with gladness in our soul from the gladness he gives. Forgiving our fellow sinners. One thing helpful to me, my Christian brother wrote this in a book, but see the sin as without excuse. The person who sinned against you, don't just make an excuse for them, you know. Because they'll never change if you do. You say, this was wrong, and this was not good. Not good to God, and not good to me. And so, you don't make excuse for the sin of the other person. Let them face what has occurred so they have a chance to change. And they're never going to change. They're never going to repent if you're always making excuses for them. Number two, forgiving others is a choice to obey God with God's help. It really comes down to God says to do this, and so we can do this as hard as it is. And we don't even have to feel like doing it. We can kind of, you know, choke on our words as we attempt, and our heart will often follow our weak faith at that point. And to know that unforgiveness really is a sin, remember what Jesus said to the person in the story who didn't forgive, even though he was forgiven. Jesus used the phrase, you wicked servant. You wicked servant, to not forgive when God has forgiven us. And so we have the open door to forgive. We need God's help. We can pray, Lord, I forgive. Help my unforgiveness. Not an easy task. Forgive because the Lord has forgiven you. This one here, I'm real important. I find this by experience and other folks. Sometimes through an offense or something, we will definitely forgive that person and say, Lord, I do forgive. And I actually love, you know, so-and-so, and I feel great about them. And it's great. Let's move on. And then a year later or some other incident, you know, they mess up again, or something reminds you of what they did, and in your soul you say, boy, wouldn't it be great if their car just got 4 flat tires so we could even up this sin they did against me, you know. Or maybe I could help them get the flat tires. Whatever the case is, shows not only did you forgive them then, which you probably did, you probably need to forgive them again. And you might have to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive all the way to heaven. And would that be the worst thing you ever did in your life? No, it'd probably be pretty good. You know, that you're able to say, I'm walking in the forgiveness that God has given me. Because after all, He has forgiven us. He is forgiving us today. He will forgive us. We trust in Him, not ourselves. And so, repeated action is okay. Be merciful to yourself if you have to repeat forgiveness. Forgiving others is slow and painful. Here's an old quote. Unforgiveness really is eating rat poison and expecting the rat to die. A person may be a rat, but they could be a forgiven rat. Okay? They're no good. And that may be true. But you could forgive, because that's what God has done. It's an action of one. He's the one, and you could be the one who forgives. And reconciliation may or may not happen. You don't have to love them. You don't have to trust them. Well, you do have to love them. You have to love them, maybe not like, I won't be your best friend, but I love you. You don't have to trust them, but you could forgive and say, I hope God blesses them as much as He blesses me or anybody else. You know, that takes a lot of prayer. And God will change your heart. And you'll be a picture of the gospel. Because they'll sense that. It's interesting, when something bad happens publicly, let's say there's a murder, and then the person in the courtroom says, I want you to know you killed my loved one, but I forgive you. Like, the whole world stops and says, look at that. The atheists say, look at that, that's unbelievable. Agnostics, they say, something, what's going on there? And of course Christians say, well, that's the Lord, all right. You know, that's the way He is. God gets a lot of glory when you forgive. And it's unilateral. It opens up the future for you. So you're not walking around, you know, looking for the other person to have destruction. And your own soul has a lot of love on it, because you've been forgiven a lot. And so you'll be a bringer of good news that says this: Jesus forgives, and so do we. Jesus forgives, and so do we. And God can really help us out with that. And He's good at it. He'll be faithful to bring conviction and action, and it'll be something. So let's pray together. Lord, thank You for King David. He had a lot of sin to forgive. And he found You. You found him. And he didn't hear about forgiveness and say, oh, that's good, I'll just go keep doing wrong because the Lord's a forgiving God. He said, oh, my heart is glad, I rejoice, God is my fortress. I don't want to be like a horse or a mule, having to be guided in reluctance, but a heart surrendered to You. So please help us with this. It's one of the harder things we do as Christians, but You show the way. And when we don't know what to do, at least we could pray with You, Jesus. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And Lord, while You're at it, forgive me for the unforgiveness I may have. And thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's a great words to a tune that's a little easier on our vocal cords than the original Amazing Grace, but it'll honor the Lord.